Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number 6. Sister Marge, Brother Richard, I reckon Sunday night ain't been uploaded. But she said, I'm still looking for Sunday night. Amen. I'm telling you, it means a lot to people to be able to get it in their home. Amen. I appreciate that. She told me before, and she's probably told you, Joy, the same thing. Said, I'll watch it 2 or 3 times. Amen. She ought to be good and saved by the time she gets out of here. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter number 6 tonight. Matthew chapter number 6. I want to read just one verse of Scripture, then I'm going to preach a whole chapter to you. Amen. Because this one verse of Scripture is where the message was birthed. I preached on Sunday night on answers for the anxious. And I came over here to look at this text, this particular text. It's the one you sent me, Brother Brian. I think you sent it to me about the cure for anxiety. Well, I came over here to look at that text, and the first word is therefore. Now, what got me in troubles was looking to see what that therefore was there for. And I started looking at this chapter, and God just began to open it. I went upstairs at Charity's. I had to get away from Sawyer a little while and get with the Savior and ask Him what we needed for tonight. And the Bible said in verse 25, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment, or the body than raiment? Pray with me. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. God, the singing's been great. And Lord, the fellowship has been wonderful. God, I'm asking you now, like Isaiah in chapter 64, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. God, we need you tonight in this service. Help us, Lord, to carry to the pulpit the spirit of the study, how you overwhelmed my heart and my soul. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd make us a blessing to our precious people. God, will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm telling you tonight, God's got something for us. I've been telling people about Sunday night a little bit, talking to different ones. And I'm telling you, even somebody that's real close to me, I found out that last year they went through the whole month of December battling anxiety. And there's no need, amen. Listen, there's no shame and being honest before God. And there's no shame in bearing one another's burdens. Amen. You may not know it, but Charles Spurgeon, he was a wonderful man of God, a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He battled depression tremendously. He fought it day in and day out. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, what God wants me to preach on is the root causes of anxiety. The root causes of anxiety. And never in my life have I looked at this chapter as a whole. I've looked at this little section, that little section, this little section. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe God's going to tie it all together in the root causes of anxiety. Look in verse number 1 with me, please. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you ought to underline this, no reward. No reward. You ought to underline that in your Bible. And then you ought to circle, this is what I did, the words before men. Before men. And no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have you ought to underline this, the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You ought to underline that right there. Do you see the contrast in these scriptures right here? Watch this. I'm trying to get it read so I can preach. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Here's the first thing in the message. There's a misplaced trumpet. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the contrast between a person's private life and a person's public life. These hypocrites would blow the trumpet, amen. They wanted everybody, they wanted to drop their offering in. They wanted everybody to hear it hit the plate, amen. They did what they did for show. And I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You're talking about a cause of anxiety. That's when people's one way in public and another way in private, amen. And you can read this over and over. The reward when you did it, beloved, listen, when you did it, it was temporal. When you did it for the wrong reason, there's no reward in verse number 1. And in verse number 2, the Bible said they have their reward. In verse number 5, the Word of God said, seen of men, they have their reward. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm going to tie it into the Old Testament. You take those kings that come along in the Old Testament. Every time there was a new king, you know what it would say? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. One of the root causes of anxiety, amen, is a person whose private life does not line up with their public life. Are you listening to me? They're doing what they do to be seen of men. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, beloved, will dig that out. Say amen. And I believe that's one of the things that God is saying in this chapter that we need to be careful of. There's also a reward that's eternal. In verse number 4, God said, I'll reward you openly. In verse number 6, the Word of God said, I'll reward thee openly. You can go over to verse 16 through verse number 18. This is how important this is. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men. Do you see this? There's a contrast by how you appear to God and how you appear to men. And honey, it'll rip a person apart. Amen. I tell you, it's a happy day in your life when you realize, beloved, we're to live to please God. Amen. And beloved, it's Jesus that we're going to stand before at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that we've done in the body. Amen. God knows what's done for show and what's done for the Savior. Amen. Beloved, it was a happy day in my life. I was reading about the judgment seat of Christ. I'd go to these conferences. They'd make you feel like if you wasn't baptized in 500 people, you wasn't doing nothing for God. And I'll tell you, it was a happy day when God showed me a verse of Scripture. He said He's going to try our works, not by what size they are, but by what sort they are. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's what this is talking about right here. You see, I got over some of that anxiety when I realized, God, you ain't looking at the size. You're looking at the sort. I believe some of the big shot preachers in America, are you listening to me? I believe we'll take a back seat to some of these mountain preachers. Amen. That's been faithful to the flock for years and years and years. They've married them. They've buried them. They preached the Word of God to them. And they did what they could. Amen. In the community, there's a misplaced trumpet. The second thing I see in the message tonight is a misplaced trust. In verse number 8, you get into the model prayer. Many call it the Lord's Prayer. The Bible said in verse number 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. And the Bible said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, I was reminded of something. Listen to me. I remember I told you before, I asked Miss Eve, we were riding down the road one day, we were teenagers, and I looked over at Miss Eve. I didn't call her Miss Eve at the time. I said, Eve, do you fear God? She said, no, am I supposed to? She wasn't being a smart aleck. She didn't have any Sunday school background. She had never had anybody teach her the Bible. Say amen. She was just giving me an honest answer. No, am I supposed to? Hard to believe anybody could live in America. Amen. Amen. But it's true. They're everywhere. Amen. There's people that don't fear God, don't even know they're supposed to. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason I stopped right there is this. When I was a lost man, before I ever got saved, when I was at my wits, when I laid down at night. Now, y'all take that for whatever it's worth. Amen. When my mind was working right, when I laid down at night, I always recited the Lord's this model prayer. Our Father, which I learned it as a kid, which art in heaven. You say, did it do you any good? I don't know, but it didn't hurt me. Jesus come along one day, amen, and showed me that I could be His child and He could be my Father and that I could put my trust in Him. And the Word of God said here, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. A misplaced trust. You see, I believe, listen, if we do not understand that according to this scripture, we can trust our Father. The Word of God said, our Father which is in heaven, we ought to trust His position. Hallelujah. He's higher than we are. The psalmist said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. It's not me up there trying to pull Him down. It's Him up there trying to lift me up. Amen. And the Word of God is talking about a Father we can trust. We can trust His position. We can trust His purpose. We can trust His provision. Give us this day our daily bread. God, David said, I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed of begging bread. Amen. You say, Pastor, what happens when people are all anxious and they're eat up with anxiety? What's causing that? One of the things is the trumpet's in the wrong place. And another thing is the trust is in the wrong place. Amen. We need to trust the Lord. Amen. We see His protection. You say, Pastor, where did you see that? And lead us not into temptation. Amen. God will protect His children. If we'll just look to Him, if we'll just trust Him, He'll help us. Amen. And then we see His power. Thine is the power. God has the power to transform our lives. Amen. And I thank God for that, don't you? And then there, in this text right here, we can trust not only our Father, and if we don't, our trust is misplaced, but we can trust our future. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He said, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I can trust my future to a Father that loves me. Amen. He didn't just save me and turn me loose. Amen. He saved me and said, boy, I've got you. Amen. He's going to hang on to us. Amen. And we can trust our future. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And then we can trust His forgiveness. Not only that He's forgiven us. You mentioned that, Brother Brian, a minute ago. But thank God because He forgave us, we can forgive others. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul, when he come over there and he addressed that young man in 2 Corinthians that had committed incest, when he addressed, he told him, he said, you need to forgive him. He repented and they still wouldn't forgive him. He said, to whom you forgive anything, so I forgave it. But he said, I forgave it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no forgiveness outside of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. So there's a misplaced trumpet that causes anxiety. There's a misplaced trust. It's a happy day, beloved, when you get over what other people think and just concentrate on what God knows. Amen. Get over trying to impress somebody. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. And just serve the Lord. Amen. That's a happy day in your life. Then there was a misplaced trust. But then the next thing that God showed me, it's a root cause of anxiety, is a misplaced treasure. Look in verse number 19. The Word of God said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You say, Pastor, what do you mean a misplaced treasure? Anxiety. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's some people that just worry about the stock market. They worry about their bank account. They worry about their job and the security in their job. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a big difference in being concerned about something and worrying about something. Well, I'm telling you, you worry, you just wring your hands and fret about something you can't even do. But I tell you, you can pray about things. Amen. We don't need, listen, to lay up for ourselves treasures upon the earth. It's a happy day when God showed me. Listen, I live in a house that's got brick veneer on the outside of it. And you have seen houses that have caught on fire, and all that's left standing is the cinder block basement, Brother Houston, and the brick shell. Everything inside is gutted. I'm going to tell you, one day this old planet's going to get so hot, the bricks are going to melt. Are you listening to me? That's how they formed the brick in that furnace anyway. I'm telling you, they're going to melt. The Bible said the rocks will melt with fervent heat. And we need to get it in our heart and get it in our mind that this world's not here forever. Everything here is temporal, and beloved, and quit getting so tore out of the frame, say amen, out of stuff that ain't going to matter when we stand before God. It ain't going to matter when we're laying on our deathbed in the hospital. It ain't going to matter, amen, to the children of God, a misplaced treasure. It has to do with heaven. Look in verse number 19 and verse number 20. Lay not for yourself treasures upon the earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Amen. Where's your treasure? Because you say, Pastor, what difference does it make? I'll tell you what difference it makes. The Bible said the next thing here, it has to do with your heart. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Amen? Thank God tonight. I've heard people say, I just can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give to mission. Let me tell you something I've learned. I can't afford not to. Somebody say amen. I can't afford not to. My daddy, Brother Eddie back there, Brother Nick, they knew my daddy. Daddy said one day, Brother Eddie, he said it was a happy day in my life when I found out that God could get more done with 90% than I could with 100%. That's the way my daddy put it. Say amen. Daddy was beating his head against the wall. Amen. But he put his trust in the Lord and his treasure in heaven. Amen. And God blessed him. Amen. It blessed him tremendously. The Bible talks about a misplaced treasure here. But then there's not only that has to do with heaven, it has to do with our heart, but it has to do with honor. Who are we going to honor? Look in verse number 24. No man can serve two masters. All my life, I've heard preaching about fence straddling. Here's the fence. And you got one foot in the devil's field, one foot in God's field. Guess what? That ain't Bible preaching. Did y'all hear me? That ain't Bible preaching. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. That don't look like a fence to me. It looks to me like you're in one field or the other. One master or the other. Say amen. What'd he say? No man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and serve mammon. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do. And it's no wonder they're so anxious. They can't hardly think. Amen. Because their heart is divided. And their thoughts are divided. There's a misplaced trumpet. A misplaced trust. There's a misplaced treasure. And this causes anxiety. And then there's misplaced thoughts. That's the last part of the message tonight. Beginning in verse number 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Boy, I tell you, an anxious person needs to read this. You know what's going on right here? This is a reflection of our fallen nature. You know what we're doing? Listen, when we get all tore up about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and a roof over our head and all that, you know what we're doing? We're saying, God, we know you take care of the birds, but you can't take care of me. We know, God, you clothe the lily in the field, and even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of them lilies. Them lilies is fixing to come out here pretty soon. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Amen. But Lord, we know, Lord, that you clothe that lily. But Lord, I just don't believe you can. You see the problem with that? That's a fallen nature. And guess what? Every one of us has got one of them. Say amen. Every one of us has got one of them fallen natures. That's why there's a battle going on between that new nature, that new man, and that old man. And so our thought processes, beloved, listen, it's a reflection of our fallen nature. The God that takes care of creation can't take care of His children. That's some faulty thinking right there. Amen. The God that takes care of His creation will take care of His children. Amen. Thank God for that. He said, are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, Brother Jason, that night we preached, I think it was four of us that night, wasn't it? You know what, brother? If I could have just taken thought, added a cubit to my stature, I'd have preached first. Remember that? It was tallest to the shortest, amen? I'd just go in the office and say, Lord, I want to be taller than Jason. Amen? I can't do that, can I? Amen? Amen. My spine ain't going that way. My spine's going this way. I was shrinking. Say amen. Amen. That between my ears is shrinking too, I'm afraid. Amen. But watch this now. There's a reflection of our fallen nature. You come on down here. He said they toil not. And he said, and even Solomon in verse 29, all of his glory. Now watch this. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? Now look at these words. O ye of little faith. Beloved, when our thought processes are not right, it's not only a reflection of our fallen nature, but it's a reflection of our faith. Jesus said, O ye of little faith. You believe I can feed the birds? Have you ever watched that? It's something to watch. We've watched it there at the house. You ever watch that robin take that worm? And them little ones, amen? They can't be Baptists because they've got their mouth open. They want to be fed. Amen? Them little ones are in that nest. They got that mouth open and mama will drop that worm right in there. Who taught that mama that? Who taught that little one to open its mouth and receive that worm? Amen. How many knows who taught him? Amen. Amen. You know what he wants to teach us? To trust him. To trust him. Amen. It's a reflection of our faith. And then I'll give you this in closing tonight. Let's go on down here. He said, therefore, in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You see, Jesus is really preaching to Jews right here. Remember, he came to the Jew first, and then also the Greek. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him. So I'm telling you, you talk about a slap in the face, Brother Dale. He said, now when you act like this, you're acting like them Gentiles. That's what he's telling them. I'm telling you, you talk about a slap in the face, buddy. He said, when you're acting like this, you're worried about what you're going to eat, worried about what you're going to wear, and worried about what you're going to drink. He said, listen, you're acting like them Gentiles. He said, watch this. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now watch, I love this. For your heavenly Father knoweth. This is incorporated a lot into my prayer life. Because there's lots of times in my life I don't know what I need or I don't know what somebody else needs. And I'll say, God, I don't know what they need. But God, you know what they need. And God, you said you knew what we needed even before we ask. But God, you said to ask. So I'm asking you, Lord, to meet that need. Watch this now and we're done. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not only, beloved, is it a reflection of our fallen nature, is it a reflection of our faith, but it's a reflection of what's first in our life. What's first in your life? I'm going to tell you something. I can look back on my life. Brother Chuck, I can see times in my life when I was, for lack of a better way to describe it, tore out of the frame, eat up with anxiety. And I can tell you something that every one of those times in my life had in common. Brother John, he wasn't first. Something else had come in. Something else had took over my thoughts, and something else was the main thing. I'm going to tell you something. It's a full-time job for the child of God to keep the main thing, the main thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said all these other things. We have a saying, they'll just fall in place. Amen. When He's first, when He's first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If Jesus comes before 8:30, what we've got on our hearts and minds for tomorrow really ain't going to matter, is it? Amen. And I appreciate the fact that He is coming. How many's glad you come tonight?